and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from the quarantine cabin on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. We're here every Monday and Thursday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how it works, people. That's, you're doing it. You're doing it, Peter, right? Remember Hook? You're doing it, Peter. Yeah. That's how it goes. You tell a friend, you tell a coworker, and we keep growing. And I got to say, summer is the time podcasts grow the most. I have theories on that. But fall is the time for J Train. This is the time we're wondering what's going on. The person I met over the summer, the person I met over the dating app, what's going on? What's in their head? Now is the time to commiserate. Now is the time to let a friend know, hey, listen to this podcast. Check it out. Make it your Instagram story. I'm very excited to have our guest on today. He is an OKP, original key player. He's been on the show before. He's got his own podcast that he does with another friend of the podcast called No Need for Apologies. He is fantastic, so hilarious. Derek Gaines, thank you for coming on.
How are you, J Train? Thanks for having me. Thanks for this confabulation that we're about to do.
I love it. I'm so happy to have you on. And listen, everyone needs to go follow Derek. He's so funny. At The Great Boy.
Great
go
boy.
Follow on Instagram. Go, go, go. What's going on with you? How you been?
I'm good, man. I feel as though I'm an outdoor pioneer. You know, because we started doing jokes when it was completely illegal back in June.
Sure. And yeah, we were early, you and I. You and I were out there when people were like, hey, you know, when the thing kind of started, people were like, would you do? And you're like, you and I are similar in the fight. We're like, yeah, let's see what happens.
See what happens. Yeah. So pioneer at a game of COVID comedy. Yeah. I've been doing stand up, staying healthy, working out every morning, just, you know, keep my mask on, running around.
Sure.
Trying to tell jokes, auditioning for TV shows. It's the shit. You know how it is.
How do you audition?
But like on Zoom.
How do you audition for TV shows over Zoom?
They'll call you and you got to kind of do the script. They'll read it, but you got to memorize it and then read it out to them. Or you do you send in a lot of tapes, and I hate making self tapes, man.
Well,
you need ring lights. Mm-hmm. You need back clear walls and backdrops and all this shit. Yeah.
Many people know I'm in the ring light game. I just turned it on. You could see the difference right now. If you go on TikTok, I've become ring light guy on TikTok.
Ring light guy.
So
that ring light blew up, didn't it?
Dude, look at this shit. You can see a difference.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/Jared Fried. I will say this. For the people at home, what they don't know, if you're not in the quote unquote industry, the audition game is you either go in and you sit with someone who barely makes eye contact with you. They're like, you basically go into, you've spent days memorizing these lines and you get like one shot, maybe two. And this person's like, okay, come in. And everyone in the waiting room looks like you. And that's the better way to go. That's the way we all want to do it, the most uncomfortable way, because then there's self-tape. Explain to the listeners self-tape.
Self-tapes is when you don't have, there's no person with a camera, there's no casting director with a leg crossed with a little clipboard. It is you trying to find a wall, setting up your phone, trying to memorize lines. You got to fucking halfway hire somebody to help you read so you can try to get a job. So it's just like this whole, you know, just do this for us and we'll maybe watch your tape and do something for you. Like, it's just, it's like putting your mixtape into a lottery of mixtapes. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it feels, it's even, you know, it's impersonal to go into a room and have someone not make eye contact with you while you read lines and you get the one
Absolutely.
Shot. But it's even more impersonal when you're like, you're basically everything about the self-tape is makes you feel bad. So you have to tape it at home, and then you tape it once, you watch it, you're like, oh God, I can't send this in. I could do better.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can do better against what? The backdrop of no feedback whatsoever. Then you have to set up the camera. You have to go over there and press play, or you have a friend help you, as you said.
All that.
And then you're like, oh my God, the lighting's bad. I nailed it with the bad lighting. And someone looks at you and goes, I can't even really hear it. And you're like, it makes self-tape is it basically was it lives in the land of self-doubt. I've done them. I've had emotional breakdowns trying to do self-tapes. Yeah, it's brutal.
You know what it feels like? It feels like an adult diorama. Like, you remember dioramas when you was a kid? You had to get the box and you had to put the grass.
Sure.
You had to make a scene. You had to make a scene with your kid imagination. So now, for a job, I got to create a scene and I got to get people to help me. And the box is just basically the backdrop. And the camera's got to be right. And the lighting got to be good. I don't like all this goofy-ass adult Hollywood homework.
It's a lot. Homework. And also, Hollywood homework, you're right. And you may never get paid for this time. You're basically there. There is a feeling that it is scratching a lotto ticket a little bit because you're like, I'm going to send this in and it's either going to be me on a sitcom for 8 years and I'll be living in a mansion, or it's going to be me doing this again next week. Like, it's there's no in between.
Contract over your head. They dangle this contract with all this life changing money over your head.
That's the best. Sometimes they'll send you, they'll send you the audition. They'll be like, so if you get it, you'll make $7 billion an episode. And you're like, why even tell us this?
Why tell me this?
I don't care.
And you try not to think about it because you're a comic. You try to go, no.
Nothing's going to happen. Yeah. Like, you know. Well, let me tell the listeners, too. We'll move on from this because I think this is hilarious. But this is all to say, Derek, you're a working actor. You are in The Last OG, which is on TBS, and you have a huge part on that show. That's amazing. I love that.
Thanks,
and
man.
You were just in a movie, The King of Staten Island. That is fucking amazing. I love it. Yeah, is there one thing to take? I mean, I know it sucks that it didn't do the theater thing because of COVID.
Didn't do the theater thing. No red carpet. No press junket.
Like, all the stuff that, like, you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to admit it, but you're like, I love fries with my burger. You know, that's the fries. Yeah.
That's the fries.
Yeah.
And then there's seasoned fries because it's like, oh, come on, bro. Because I'll tell you what happened. Because coming out but not being able to go to L.A. and run the set and then get ready for all the stuff that was going to come with it and being able to do all these grandiose interviews. Because I was ready for the interviews. I was ready to be one of the funniest dudes in an interview.
Totally. And then that, for you personally, that becomes, this is the Derek Gaines show. Here's my audition for the next movie. Here's my audition for stand-up sets. Here's to get me an Instagram follower. Here's the, you know, you've lost other ways. And again, these are the things, like, Trump isn't going to give you a stimulus check of Instagram followers that would have came from Jimmy Kimmel, hypothetically, right?
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, no looks, no late night looks, no other movie looks, but it still felt good. But even people didn't even watch it at first because they had to pay $30 or $20 or whatever it was.
I paid. Demand. I'll let you know. I paid.
But all my friends back home was like, yeah, I'll wait till it's rentable, nigga. And when it's $5.99, then maybe I'll invest in this 2-hour movie, bro. But I heard you was in it. Congrats. But that's about it. I mean, it was just a lot of, like, quick pats on the back. But yeah, COVID took the luster of it away. But it's still a movie, though.
This is all to say, when I actually had a moment of, like, chills down my spine for you, for Ricky, for Lisa, for Pete. But, I know all of you better than I know Pete. When I saw the Universal thing at the beginning, that's where I was like, holy shit, this is fucking cool. Right?
It's a real movie.
Yeah.
So when I watched it and I saw I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. I had that moment. So I'm sure you did. So what has anything, you know, anything come out of it that you loved, hated, making a movie? Like, what would you tell the people, us normals, us non-movie stars? What would you have to share with us?
Well, I love Judd. I love Pete. They were real cool to work with because they come from a comedy background. And then everybody was there was just trying to knock it out the park, man, because it was a comedy movie. It was like a dramedy, but with comedians being dramatic. Sure. So it was just like to be amongst all these funny people. Bill Burr, Marissa Tomei was great.
Kirsten's in it. Whatever.
Mike Vecchione did his thing. Vecchione. Fireman. Mike V is one of my favorites. He's from Philly.
He's the best.
So being amongst cool coworkers. So it wasn't like I was a green thumb. It was just like I was just at a cool another kind of job with some comics, and then we made some real cool project with a dude from LA who came to New York to fuck with the New York style, and it was just like really nice to see. That's, and I really had a good time, man.
It's something you can tell because there's so many scenes where like I'm like, this is in the restaurant, funny. You know, like it's just like everyone seemed comfortable. It's really cool. I'm happy for you. And anyone who's watching right now or listening, go watch King of Staten Island. It's a great movie.
King of Staten Island.
So much fun. The Last OG. We're gonna do the emails. Before we get to the emails, you have a podcast. I want everyone to go listen. Add it to your library. Monroe Martin and you do No Need for Apologies.
No need for apologies.
You guys, what days does that come out?
Comes out, well, we film on Monday, but it comes out Sunday on Gas Digital, and it comes out again on Wednesday everywhere else. So it's on YouTube, it's on all the platforms where you can have podcasts. In No Need for Apologies is where it's spelled, and it's just me and Monroe just being kind of like your comedy cousins. Like, we talk shit, we cover the news, and we have you on just to have like that recess camaraderie. Like, it's basically lunch table comedy, but sure, as an adult in a studio, and we just talk about the issues, man, as adults. But, you know, funny adults. So we come at it. We take a very bold black angle on what's going on in 2020, man. And, you know, there's a lot of things to have a black angle on, because it seems like the black angle is winning right now. Emmys. Ugh. But yeah. So we take full advantage of our blackness on this show. And we like to invite all to come be as black as us. Oh, No Need for Posh.
Listen, I love it. I love you both, because I got to say, I like listening to when you guys are together, because you're both laughers. You guys are both there for the shit talk. You're both there for the fun. And I would say to anybody that listens to this, you're going to love their show. Go follow. Go get involved.
No Need for Apologies. Yeah.
And that's
a T-shirt. We're selling hoodies right now. It's going to get cold out soon.
It's time to warm up. So,
and ladies,
listen,
especially, big long shirts before you go to bed. I'm all for it. You're going to be watching 90 Day Fiancé and all the cool J-Train shows.
That's
get yourself
right.
a No Need for Apologies T-shirt. Do something for the culture. That's... sit in nothing with the shirt.
So go. You got to get naked under that shirt. You're going to do
naked
the t-shirt
the
dress. Go follow Derek at The Great Boy on Instagram. It's going to be all over my social media today. Go. Let's do some emails. You ready?
Let's do some emails. Let me say.
J-Train.
So you want me to go check my emails, or do you
no,
got
no, no,
it?
No. I got emails. So I forwarded you one for the end. We'll do some ones before that. But at JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Sexted and ghosted. It's tough. J-Train, love you and the pod so much. You've become the voice in the back of my head when it comes to dating. Here's my situation. I've been on two dates with a guy and tried to plan a third date yesterday. We were chatting about our day, and I suggested we plan another date. He said he was down. Then he asked, what do you want to do? With a devil face. Chatting about our day, I suggested we plan another date. He said he was down. Then he asked, what do you want to do? Devil face. Emoji. I knew he was wanting a sexy response, but I responded by saying we should go to dinner. He hasn't responded for 24 hours.
Okay.
See, I think we're both laughing for the same reason. We just know dudes. He's like, what do you want to do? There's the devil emoji. And she's like, dinner? And he's like, fuck this.
No. Yeah. I don't want to devilishly eat a salad. I don't want to. Who does that? No, come on, babe. You know what that face is for.
For some extra info, in between our two dates, he initiated sexting, and I went along with it one night. We never kissed. We've been texting most days since we matched on Hinge a month ago. I'm 26 and he's 28. I have two questions. Do you think he just wanted to sleep with me and decided that I wanted more than just sex? And if a guy is trying to sex too early, how can I tell him it's too soon without making it seem like I'm not interested? So, Derek, what do you think? These are valid. I think it's funny what happened. These are valid questions. Do you think he just wanted to sleep with her and decided that that she just wanted more than sex?
I think they said they already went on two dates.
Two dates.
Yeah, I think he was trying to seal that deal because he felt like, all right, I held out for two. And on this third, hopefully we can end with, you know, what I think would be appropriate timing for something.
Sure.
But, you know, it's not about your timing, sir. It's about her timing. So So let me think. So
See, I you know what I think happened here? And I think it's interesting because a lot of guys, you know, guys are in the position where sometimes, like, chemically, I think we just react different to sex. Mm-hmm. I think he's right now, his thing is, she says, do you think he just wanted to sleep with me and decided that I wanted more than just sex? I don't think he just wanted to sleep with you.
I don't think he just wanted to sleep with you either.
I think he wasn't sure. I think he would sleep with you and make that a part of the greater puzzle of would I keep dating her. So the problem is when you're going to say, okay, I definitely want to sleep with this person, but I definitely don't know if we'll be more than just what this is now. You don't want that sex to be held against you. You don't want you like I if I went through with sex with someone, I wouldn't want to say, well, I've had sex with them, and now if I bail, it will look like I just wanted sex, but really the sex was a part of the greater equation. So I think he's not opting out of you because you want something more. I think it's more gray than that. He's opting out of sex being held against him because you did sexed and you know, he did send that devil emoji and then you're like, dinner. It wasn't like you were like, I want to, you know, like he's trying to go down a sexy road. And when you say dinner, you go dinner because I'm looking for more and I will, you're insinuating that sex will be held against him in the way. And again, he wouldn't be wrong. You wrote this into the podcast. You said, does he just want sex? And I think it's more complicated than that. Wouldn't you? Do you have thoughts on that?
I think so, because he did the two dates. He did the two dates. So sure. he just wants the garnish. He wants the, you know, he wants the little, come on, babe. I mean, we did two dates. We sexed it a little bit. I think it's time to take that step to see if we want to go on more dates. Because after the sex is out the way, then y'all start going out to eat. It's a whole kind of comfortable,
well,
different thing. I mean, we've jumped over that hurdle. And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And the whole thing about you don't know if it's just all the sex is, you kind of got to take that risk in the dating game, because you do the dinners, but you got to understand if the sex is bad, of course y'all going to opt out and not do it again. But if it's good, you know, you go, well, wow. Well, look at that. I hit the lottery this time.
It connects you on a different level. I think like I understand. I don't think either of them are wrong. Is my point. Like I think she's not wrong for saying, like, I do understand where it does feel cheap. It's like, oh, I had the two dates. I paid for the two dates. Sex time. Like I earned it. Mm-hmm. Like I think it can come off that way. And it's generally more that he's like, hey, let's intertwine ourselves a little bit more. And part of intertwining for me is having sex in addition to, again, the problem becomes I can't guarantee, like you said, you can't guarantee that he's not just looking for sex and he's using dinner to get sex. Maybe that's the case. But it also might be the case that he gave you a contract offer of sex and of a flirty emoji. You came back with a contract renegotiation of no dinner. So he is now seeing, I'm not going to sign that contract, and he's opting out. And I think it's to me, it's worse if he had been like, oh yeah, dinner, and then went out with you and then had sex and then disappeared. Like, I'd rather have them disappear before the dinner. She writes, is there a thing that sex too early? How can I tell him it's too soon? If a guy is trying to sex too early, how can I tell him it's too soon without making it seem like I'm not interested?
Just put like this emoji on. If he sends you a dick pic, do one of these.
Well,
buffering. Like, I don't know how you do that. Like, all right, back. Don't do that. Send me like a chest pic instead of a whole dick pic. Send me something with your arms out or your chest. And that's, I don't know where to go with that.
Well, I think she has to be a little bit more honest with herself. How can I tell him if it's too soon without making it seem like I'm not interested? Well, you're not interested in that yet. That's okay. In the same way you weren't interested in responding to the devil emoji with your version of the devil emoji, you said dinner. Again, you opted for the dinner route. That's okay. But I think that's, the idea that like turning down for sexting has ruined something. No. That someone wouldn't have worked out anyways. They were after that and you weren't ready to do that.
Absolutely.
The J Train podcast is brought to you by Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. If you're still throwing money at a high interest credit card every month, it's time to check out Upstart, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score. Find out how low your Upstart rate can be today. I think Upstart is such a fantastic sponsor because they're doing something for you that if you need it, it's there. And if you don't, you can skip through this ad. Like, if you're not dealing with debt or if you don't need a loan of any kind, but this is an asset. I love a sponsor that can work as an asset, and that's what Upstart does. Because if you're paying high-interest credit cards debt and you're looking for a way to find an extra $20 in your pocket, a great way to do that is to go look at your Upstart rate. If the rate they give you is smaller or is less than the rate you're paying now, hey, you've just made money. And I know it's weird to think of making money on your, you know, on when you're still spending money. But if you don't think of it that way, I don't know what else you're going to do. So Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score. That's why it might be different than what you're paying in credit card rates. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Skip the bank. It's completely online. Loans from $1,000 to $50,000. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, and this is a huge part, it won't affect your credit card or your credit score. That's huge. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. So you get to see your rate. You can do some math on your end, see if it works, and then you accept it, and you know that then you're down that road. Or you don't. And that's okay, too. But this is an asset, as I said before. Best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day, the next day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. That's what I'm talking about, baby. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot. You know why? It's because they've helped people. Hurry to upstart.com/JTrain to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit rate. Only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/JTrain. Here's the part the lawyers make me say. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Ritual. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Ritual. We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why. That's why Ritual's founder is on a mission to reinvent the vitamin industry. Not only have they obsessively researched each nutrient in their visionary woman's multivitamin, carefully choosing forms that are absorbable by the body, but they've also tested their formula. Science backed isn't just a buzzword for them, it's the standard. Ritual left out mystery additives, synthetic fillers, and shady extras that can be found in some traditional multivitamins. And they're committed to showing you their nutrients, where it came from, and why they chose it. They call it traceability. I got to say, I love what Ritual's doing. I love the openness. I love that they're letting people know what they're putting in their bodies and being and giving a why. I think that's what this podcast is all about. Hey, this happened. Why? I chose this path. Why? I chose this dating decision. Why? I'm putting this multivitamin on my body, and the multivitamin has this vitamin, that vitamin. Well, why did they choose that? What am I doing for myself? That's why I love what Ritual's doing. Openness, a dialogue. That's what we all want. We all want to feel good about what we're putting into our bodies, and you feel better when you're knowledgeable. Their no-nausea capsule design is gentle on an empty stomach, and there's a mint tab in every bottle to keep things fresh so you don't get that fishy aftertaste common with most omega-3s. For obsessive label readers, Ritual uses vegan-certified, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free ingredients, and their sources are out there for the whole world to see because they believe you deserve to know what you're putting in your body and why. Love that. Daily changes can lead to big results, so start small today. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Try it out, satisfaction guaranteed. Go to ritual.com/JTrain to start your trial today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/JTrain. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Derek Haynes at The Great Boy. Go follow, go follow, go follow right now. Let's do, this is a little long. They are the women ones.
They talk. They got to get it out. They got to get it out.
Okay. Situationship. Hi,
okay,
Jared.
I know what these are.
I started dating this guy back in June.
That's
we
the
lived
situation.
30 minutes from each other, but would hang out and spend time together every week. When we did hang out, we would spend long periods of time together. I've enjoyed my time with him and really do like him. We have both gone back to college and decided to still talk and continue to develop this quote-unquote relationship, just at a slower rate because we are not together in person. We currently text, call, and call each other, watch movies, and play games together. I just don't know where this is going because he said he's not going anywhere unless I decide I don't want him here anymore. Balls in my court, essentially. Ooh. So he's basically like, I'll keep texting with you if you're up for it. Is he just holding on to me for the attention? Or does he genuinely see this maybe going somewhere? He's not currently ready to jump into a relationship now, and we both agreed not to jump into a long-distance relationship. I just don't know how to approach a situation. It's weird not being with this person in person. I believe he's a genuine guy, and I don't think he's leading me on. But again, I don't know where this is going. Love the content. So what do you think?
Well, he's trying to avoid the out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing. While she's like, well, we in college and, you know, this is nice and all. But when you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, it usually ends, especially for college kids, man. I've seen college kids break up because they go to separate colleges and maybe come back. Like, at this point in y'all relationship careers, when you don't see the open-ended or you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, usually there's no light. I mean, y'all sticking to something because it's comfortable. But, you know, college kids don't like being uncomfortable quite yet. I mean, dorms is one thing, but emotions is that's tough.
That was poetry, what you just said. You're absolutely right. College kids hate to – and generally people hate being uncomfortable with their emotions. So,
and the LDR is a road less traveled. That's a long-distance relationship. LDR is the
– yeah. But I'm with you. I think – what she is doing right now, I think the one thing that's very hard for people to do, and like I think looking back, she would give herself this advice, but enjoy college.
Enjoy college.
And also, not every relationship has to end in marriage or disaster.
Absolutely.
Not everything that you start out. And I think what he's doing is kind of wrong. When she says... I just don't know where this is going because he has said he is not going anywhere unless I decide I don't want him here anymore.
He goes to an all-boy college. That's what it sounds like. Well, all-boy school, nigga? Why are you doing this?
It also sounds like he is being a boy. He's not taking ownership or responsibility. He's basically saying, I could do without you, but I don't want to be the one to decide to leave, to have you leave and feel like shit because I bailed on a good situation. So he's just
Catholic
keeping
marriage.
You around. Right?
Catholic marriage, man. Yeah. I'm not going to – you break up with me, but I'm not going to be the guy that's going to be the bad guy. So it's like, in a sense, you are the bad guy because you putting this whole ball in her court when she's at a whole completely different school, bro.
And what he's saying when he says you end it if you want, he's basically going, I won't feel so bad as long as you do it because you have to bear the responsibility of cutting off something that could have been good, but it's never my fault. Even in my own brain, when I look back, again, being uncomfortable with your emotions. So it's very uncomfortable to live with the idea that you let the one go away. That's what he's protecting against. But you're not the one. He's not the one. You need the one is college, enjoying yourself, meeting new people, gaining the ability to introduce yourself to new people and create new relationships and have experiences. This is holding you back from experiences. And he doesn't mean, again, what she wrote at the end, I think it's such a great thing she wrote. I believe he's a genuine guy, and I don't think he's leading me on. I don't think he is either. I don't think he's doing this knowingly. I don't think he's doing this destructively. You should say to him, hey, you have my number. When we're in the same area, if life should bring us back together, I would love to hear from you. But
there's always summer break. There's always summer break.
Totally. But for now, you got to stop texting every day because he doesn't care to lose your text every day enough to create a plan to be together. So, and you don't either. You're going, I don't know what this is going to be. If you don't know, that means it's nothing.
And it's a waste of your tuition. Pay. That's what tuition is about. Yeah, it's the classes, but it's the all the other things that the Mighty J Train just said. The experience, the people, the friends. Stop wasting your money trying to stay with somebody. And then you on some like, well, if you break up, then it's cool. But nah, you waste your money. Go ahead and just do this and then come back. Do the day and then come back.
Own the decision. You know, I think that's a big thing where it's like we all want to just let decisions come at us. But it's like you're going to end up dealing with that for years. Own it now.
Own it right
now.
Be
good with it. J Train
Podcast. Stand on 2 feet.
That's right. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Derek Gaines. The podcast. No need for apologies. Go subscribe. Go listen at The Great Boy. Dating apps and setting intentions. Are you on any dating apps currently?
I was on Hinge for shits and giggles. Mm. And then a lady friend that I'm quite fond of, me and her start kind of, you know, dating sort of like, well, who are you fucking? I'm not fucking nobody. Well, you want to just, you know.
Is it a rekindle or is it just?
It's kind of like a, it's always, we always circle back to us. Like we'll go out and it comes back, but it's been like 2+ years now. So we're like, what are we doing? Like, when you want to just actually try this?
Are you trying it?
Yeah, we're trying.
Okay. That's fun. I mean, there are those things with, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, it didn't work out. It fizzled.
Yeah.
You know, where again, like, and
she never fizzled. That's the crazy part. So it was just like, she was on some, I knew you would be back. Like,
oh, shit.
Type shit. So I'm like, oh, who the fuck you think you are?
It's funny that that's
intriguing.
I knew you'd be back is intriguing. Will you come back is not.
No.
Yeah, it's
an interesting. She was confident. Her confidence made me go, oh, I like that. Like,
yeah.
How was she so sure? Okay.
That's a lesson for the listeners.
Yeah. Like, she hit me with that bold girl shit. And when a girl hits me with that bold, confident, yeah, I knew you'd be back. It makes me excuse the fuck out of me. Why'd you think I'd be back? And then she explains why. And I'm like, all right, you're right. So
you made many good points just now.
Many good points. Point argument right there. So, yeah, let's hang out. Let's watch this Lovecraft Country and shut the fuck up. And it's just, let's get into this HBO Max, girl. I'm here. I'm on your couch.
Dating apps and setting intentions.
Yeah.
Jared. Feather, when do you ask someone you've met on a dating app about what they want? Not what are we, but more like what are you looking for? Example, I had 2 really fun dates with a guy and slept over both times. We talked about meeting again. I want to know his intentions sooner rather than later, since I don't want to potentially catch feelings for someone that's only interested in hooking up. Just because we met on Tinder and now slept together, I don't want either of us to assume that the other is looking for. Can you bring this up in conversation casually without putting pressure on defining things? It feels way too soon to define anything, but I sort of don't want to, I sort of want to know his general thoughts on what he wants, and maybe I should have asked that right away. Help. What do you think?
Wow. Well, Tinder is the bottom of the barrel of the yes, nope campaign. So when you get, when you try to base something off a swipe, it's just, you should kind of let this just pan out. Cause when you start asking questions, that's when you put the pressure on. And then you putting pressure on off of something that started off Tinder, it is bound to break. It's bound to break. I can see if it was Bumble, but Tinder.
See, I disagree with part of what you said, but I think.
Okay.
I think the very interesting part of what you just said, and I never thought of it that way, is like with Tinder, with any dating app, if you've met off a dating app, then they have that option waiting for them. They're ready for that option. It is at their holster. So the idea that like, so they're just, when you ask for a decision early on, you're basically asking them to choose between work, which is a relationship is work, whatever that may be, whether it's defined or not, you are work. That's okay. I'm saying that in the most appreciative way. Like everyone is work. So the option is work with you, and that is work, or play. Work or play. So when you're dealing with someone you met on a dating app, I'm not saying you scare them away by owning your intentions or owning what you want. But I am saying that you can't take it personally because they're just choosing play. They're just choosing swipe, 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 swipe instead of how are you? What's going on? Let's do dinner this week. Like, those are two different things, work and play. So I would say to her, she wrote something very important. The part I disagree with is I don't think what dating app you met on matters. I don't think people go on dating app. Like, I think for guys, you know, a lot of women will say, like, Tinder, I'm not here to hook up. For every person that says, well, for every person that says Tinder, I'm not some sort of whore.
Not for the hookups.
Yeah. And it's like for every person that says that, there's another person going, Bumble, I'm not a whore. Like, it's not like it says on the Tinder app, hey, before you download, it's for whores. You know, like. Like, Tinder doesn't have, like, Bumble doesn't have, like, you know, if you doesn't have, like, a thing where it's, like, downloading this app means you're looking for a serious relationship. All of these apps are open to anyone with penises and vaginas and whatever they have, and it's open to anyone's interpretation of what they are. So if you go in thinking, well, we met on Tinder, so I'm a less worthy person, you're setting yourself up for failure. No, you're there to meet people and see what it could be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see.
So I would say to her, the biggest thing in her email is found dates with a guy and slept over both times. So they've had, and she says, we've already had sex, I think, just because we met on Tinder and now slept together. I don't want either of us to assume what the other is looking for. So to me, you have to start asking for the things you want rather than the names you want. Right. So like she's like, I don't want to have a conversation. It feels too soon. Well, it's not too soon to ask for a date. It's not too soon to say, hey, it's not too late to say, hey, I don't feel like sleeping over tonight. Let's do something tomorrow during the day. And again, actions are better than words. So if he does the brunch instead of sleeping over, okay, you guys are getting to know each other. That's what you want out of this anyways. I'm not saying, like, use sex as, like, a pawn in this, but I'm saying use sex more honestly. I don't think, you know, I've already slept over the guy both nights. When you're saying I want a relationship, I think your actions are differing from your feelings, right? Doesn't it sound like that from the email?
Yeah. Yeah, it does sound like it's two different.
Yeah, because you slept two nights.
Hooked up twice. Yeah, it's like.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. No, you're good. It's just like, I think it's just too early to tell for ultimatums. Like, it's too, or like, not necessarily ultimatums, but just that whole, I mean, three is everything works better in threes. I say do the third one and then see what he's talking about. If he gets up and gets dressed really quick, then you know what it is. But if he's hanging out and he's playing Little Spoon, you might be on something.
Well, it's also to say, like, hey, do the third date, but like, I think she needs to act more like her email is written. I'm not saying you can't sleep over somewhere twice. You can sleep with someone twice in the first two dates and want a relationship. But when you write, can you bring this conversation up casually? Like, you have to own what you want a little bit more while doing that. Hey, I'm down to go back. This is great. What's your plan for next week? Are you down? Like, you can't be totally open to just running home with someone while also not being open about your feelings and how this matters to you.
Absolutely. Because there's somebody inside you that can always...
Listen, it doesn't.
You're allowed to think.
Yeah.
You're allowed to think about this.
And it's like, I don't want to, like, it's hard because I don't want to be the person that's like, well, don't have sex in the first. You can have sex with whoever you want. You can have sex whenever, however early you want. But then to write back, well, when can I bring up this conversation? Well, I don't think the conversation starts now. You obviously felt a connection enough to this person to want the conversation to happen. So I would let them know that. Hey, I'm really enjoying myself. I'm kind of pulling back on the apps right now, and I hope you're in the same space. We should do brunch this week. And you might hear an answer you don't want, but you have to.
You'd be like, "Yeah, I'm on a Tinder tour, babe. I'm leffing and swiping and nope, yes and noping. I'm headed to another city next week. Like, hopefully he doesn't say that. But she does have the right to think, but casually, casually in conversation. Just go on that third date. That's all I say. Go on the third one.
Go on that third date, and then, but ask for a date that you would do with a friend. That's what I would do. So, like, ask for that third date, but, like, hey, would you, any interest in, like, going to, like, the park today and, like, you know, I don't know, like, like, you know, do a date that you do. Hey, you want to go, like, get lunch
city
today?
Bike. Let's go city bike.
Yeah,
I'll
whatever it is.
I'll hop on a Revel and hold your stomach. Something. You know, I'll hold on to you while you take a Revel. I don't know. What do you do? You just do something.
The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Noom. Getting in shape isn't just about losing weight. It's about learning healthier habits and feeling better about yourself. Maybe it's getting into your goal jeans, having more stamina, or just treating yourself better. What if you could use one app for all of that? No more hunting for training apps, workouts, or calorie trackers. There is a new app called Noom that will help you develop a healthier lifestyle for years to come. Their whole thing is about learning, not dieting. They want you to start building better habits. I'll say I love Noom because of the knowledge portion. That is what gets you off your game. And that's what gets me off my game. If I am trying to live a healthier lifestyle, it's not that I'm being unhealthy when I'm at my house and having my breakfast in the morning and planning out my day. It's when I'm leaving the house, when I'm traveling, when I'm getting that lunch on the go. Noom is there for you to make better decisions. It's got a calorie tracker that has every single food that's ever literally existed on that tracker. So you can go out and make decisions that are better for you. And it's all in those periods of time that I use Noom is the indecision times. I'm at brunch. What am I going to choose? Which side order am I going to get? Oh, let's go to Noom. Let's take a look. Let's make a mathematical decision that takes emotion out of it, that takes me going, well, I think this one's healthier. No, let's stop. Let's stop. Let's be more knowledgeable. The Noom app, you can get tailored lessons, log your food to eat, and learn how learn a new lifestyle. That's what it's about, because it's a lifestyle. It's not about the stuff you're, you know, Monday. We could all do Monday healthy. But what are you doing Friday when you're out for dinner and everyone says, what appetizer should we get for the table? That's where Noom comes in. Noom helps you change your habits, develop a new relationship with food. Noom is based on psychology. The way you think about food is important. Learn through personalized courses how you can replace your old habits with healthier ones. No food is good or bad. Noom teaches you moderation. Noom takes a human approach. There's no judgment. It's all about staying mindful and doing what you can every day. At Noom, let me repeat myself. Small steps lead to big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/JTrain. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/JTrain to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom.com/JTrain and start losing weight for good. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Derek Gaines at The Great Boy. Go follow. Man wondering if I should keep pursuing or just let it be. It's that one thing. Do I keep going after this girl or let it be? I like this email. You ready?
Okay. I'm listening.
I met this girl, a new listener. Oh, that's nice. Already a big fan. I met this girl at a small wedding a few months
ago.
In Idaho. My cousin was getting married, and she was the sister of the bride. Okay. So cousin getting married, sister of the bride. We got set a bit and immediately hit it off. Was texting before she came into town. Hung out all weekend. Kissed, made out multiple nights throughout the weekend, etc. She went back to where she lives, and I stayed around and worked from home at my cousin's place. We kept talking almost every day after, FaceTiming at night and Snapchatting through the day. We made plans for her to come out to where I live for Labor Day, but then a few weeks before, she backed out due to not being able to get off work, but then kind of called off the whole thing we had/have. I told her I just wanted to keep it casual and stay in touch and see where it goes from there from the start. But I will say we did start talking a lot more than casually. A week after she bailed from Labor Day, we started talking again, and she said she decided to come out to my hometown for Thanksgiving, which her sister and my cousin's family come out to every year. I was a bit confused but excited. We started talking again where we left off, and then I said I was thinking about coming out to her for Halloween. She was on board and started talking about all the things we would do. And one time when she was drunk, called me and started saying she wanted to do the whole thing and even called me babe. Then a week later, the same thing happened. She kind of backed out of the whole thing. Then last week, we started talking again, and I kind of called her out for going in and then backing out, how it seems like she gets close to someone and then wants to back away. She said she got burned on her last relationship and is nervous. I told her I'm not trying to jump into a heavy long-distance relationship, but also think we have something here and want to see where it goes. I'm working remotely for the next year or longer, so flying out isn't a problem for me. She is a bit younger, 23, about to be 24, and I'm 26. Her last relationship was a hometown story and a college type, and that's the only one. So my question is, do I keep going and try to see where this goes, or just bag it and move on, then casually, awkwardly see her over Thanksgiving? Well, okay, I do really like this girl. I want to see where it could go because why not? I realize her emotional maturity may be a bit different than mine. I am an open person and talk things through, where she kind of keeps them to herself and then runs away. So what do you think, Derek?
That is crazy.
Is it? Okay.
I think she's very flimsy on the take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
coming in, coming out on the drunk stuff. And then when she sobers up, she realizes it's a weird baiting she's doing, bro. I say you kind of got to walk away and see if she comes and follows because the flying out thing, if you get her out of Idaho, maybe, just maybe you can get her, you can convince her. But her being there. With the whole college thing, it ain't going
to
happen.
I'm a little confused as to where she is or where he is, but we know that he's in kind of the hometown vibe, and she sounds like she's in the more city-ish vibe.
Oh, she's the city girl. Okay.
Yeah, because it sounds like he stayed home, and then she, for Thanksgiving,
she went back.
A week after she bailed from Labor Day, we started talking, and she decided to come out to my hometown for Thanksgiving, which her sister and my cousin's family come out to every year. Okay.
And he tried to speed up the process to go there in Halloween, right?
Yeah. And
then what happened? Yeah.
Well, it sounds like she went back to where she lives, and I stayed around and worked from home at my cousin's place. So, like, it sounds like he's in small town. I'm 26. I have a good job. I'm working remote. I can kind of go from anywhere. And it seems like she's going to kind of a different space or a different type of living.
Yeah.
And she's out getting drunk, which good for her. No judgment there.
She's 23.
She's about to be 24, and she's going out and enjoying herself in a 24-year-old way. I think when you're young and you're presented with like an older option who is more secure in kind of where life is going for them, it's scary. And I think it's scary to be like, oh, this guy, he's got the room fashioned out where I can live. Like, he's got like the closet space. Like, there are people, and 26 is still young, so I don't mean to make this sound like an older guy.
It's dumb young.
But it is also, from his perspective, the way he's talking, he's in small town USA. He's got the closet space. He's got the I work remote for the next year and a half, and I know I'll be here for the next year and a half. Most people that are 23 are like, I don't know where I'll be next week. And she's going, he might be a great guy. He might be a nice guy, but I don't want to disappoint him because he's ready for the next stage. I think anytime you're dating someone who's on the precipice of the next stage, you kind of hold back a little bit because you're like, I don't want to ruin that entrance to that stage for them.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. What is that called? That's called, what is that, imposter syndrome?
Is that what it is? Or like,
arrested
development?
Ready, but she's not, but she's 3 years younger in the city drinking. He's hometown. They met at a fucking wedding. That's the worst place because everybody's in love that day.
Sure.
And think anything can bank off that. Watch wedding crashes.
And that's probably why she keeps getting close to the water and putting her toe in and then running out. Because you represent consistency. You represent marriage. You represent the family, too. She's got the cousin involved. She's got she was the sister of the bride of your cousin.
Sister of the bride, yeah.
So she's going, this guy sounds very worthwhile as a partner. So I'm going based on how his email's written, just the perspective that was written in.
Yeah.
She might be looking at you going, man, you are all the boxes are checked, but I'm still 23 and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Her sister, she watched her sister go and check all those boxes. Was like, I don't want to be that bitch just yet. So let me go ahead and back. But while I'm here, let me hang out with a cool guy, blah, 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 blah. But he's like on the level of, he was at the wedding thinking about his wedding. Well, she was just there celebrating the sister. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. And that's the confusing part is he's 26, but he does sound like he's ready for
the real thing. Guy.
And then she sounds like she's any person at 23, 24 going, I mean, there's 30-year-old people that are in this mindset. It doesn't have to age. It's just a number at that point.
Yeah, man.
But it is interesting. So I would say what you're saying is like he has to be like, listen, the bed is made. It's open to you. I'm with you.
Okay.
Hey, I'm down to try and work on this. I'm totally understanding if you're not looking. I think he has to be a little bit more honest with himself, too.
Mm, okay.
Because he's like, I just want to see where this is going. You're not, you are, sometimes you have to look at in the mirror and see what looks back at you. Look in the mirror, dude. You're not casual cam. You're fucking, like, it's, the bed is set. The life is set. You are looking for a serious thing. Be open and honest about that. But you need two people to work on that. You need to, like, go and say to her, hey, I'm down to make this happen. I just need to, like, but I want to put legitimate work in this. You know where to find me.
Well, but I'm not going to. Yeah, no.
But I would say also, you have to also, like, be a little firm and say, I'm not going to play the game of, schedule recancel. So I'm here. If you're looking to make a serious move, you have my number. But I have to back away from this. I can't do. You're not doing the same version of casual as she's doing.
For what I'm hearing, it's like small town USA. There's not as many options as where Miss Lady might be.
Oh, not at all.
So there's that. He might be so focused because there's nothing else. There's no options.
Yeah.
But her, 23, out drinking, having a good time, college, whatever. 23, somewhere where she's out drinking. Hanging out, there's options all over when you're out drinking, hanging out. So it's like, I don't know. His head just ain't where her head is at.
Absolutely. So you have to be okay with where your head is at. I think like when you say like, I don't know, I'm just down to see what happens. No. Flying to you and hanging out in Mayberry isn't hanging out to see what happens. That's not casual. Everything about your life is uncasual. So stop trying to act like it is.
Yeah, flying around in the pandemic. That's serious moves.
Booking a ticket is not casual.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Okay, let's do one more, Derek. You ready?
All right. Yeah.
Now, I forwarded you this email. We're going to go through it.
Okay.
Okay? It's called Keeping His Options Open.
All right.
Jared, love the podcast, been listening nonstop all quarantine. I've been messaging back and forth with this guy over Hinge, and I used your line of let's get drinks sometimes. And the guy agreed, but this was his response. Okay, so let's read the response. I'll be her, you be him. So she's purple. Yeah, it's been hard to go out with COVID. I definitely feel that. Seaport is fun. I've been finding myself going there a lot this summer. I'd love to do drinks sometime, though. Let me know what works for you.
Uh-huh. And then, I like that, too. When are you free?
I have work Friday morning, but I'm free at night.
I may be free, too.
Oh, my God. Hey. With the thinky face.
I might be free, too.
Well, and then she writes, do I give a guy like this the time of day to hang out with, or does it seem like he's not interested in hanging out?
That was a misplaced emoji. I don't know.
Yeah, the thinky face.
I might be free, too. What is this, a dream sequence? Is it going to get wavy line? Yeah, either you're free or you're not.
I feel for her because it sucks to get down the river of like talking to someone on a dating app and you're like, wow, this is going great. And then they just pull a blunder like this and it's like he's basically like to me that answer, I think it's okay to be like that answer didn't make me wet enough to go on the date.
He was trying to be too cool. I think it was a too cool move. He was trying to be cool, but it didn't come off cool. It came off corny.
Yeah. So, the only way I would deal with someone like this, I would stop the conversation.
Okay.
You did everything. Basically, you gave this person the hammer, the nails, the wood, and you said, you want to build a house? And then they go, I might build a house, maybe.
Me?
And it's like, no. Yeah. Like, okay, well, good luck. He still has the tools to make a date. He still has the ability. He's got the yes already. You gave him the yes. So you leave this conversation, you start swiping again. If he comes back to you and says, hey, what about that date? And all I would write back is, yeah, I'm waiting for you to make a plan.
Yeah.
I don't know what this answer meant.
What's the thumb on the face?
Seemed like you're still thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, all right, either you do or you don't. Like that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm on her side.
Yeah. I'm on her side. I think what he's doing is sometimes people, even making the date is too serious for them.
Yeah.
You want to be on a date with someone. Your taste, this person's taste, is I want to be on a date with someone who at least made the effort to plan it and seemed excited about it. To me, that answer is not excited enough to go on a date with me. So I look at it through that perspective. Not should I give her perspective right now is, do I give this guy time of day to hang out with? No. The perspective should be, do I want to hang out with a guy who can't even make the date after I made it as easy as possible for him? No.
Mm-hmm.
Move on. And then, listen, no doors are closed. No judgment is too hard on someone. He might come back and go, hey, I fucked up. Let's do drinks this Tuesday at 8. All right. Boom.
I would give him this. If I was a girl, I'd give him a chance after. Hey, I fucked up. I don't know what this was for. It was stupid. But yeah, let me prove to you that I'm not that guy. And yeah, let's get drinks or some shit like
everyone
that.
Everyone deserves redemption, just like your girl that you talked about in the beginning of the in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah.
I knew you'd be back. Like, shit. That's
like,
a different
what?
Attitude.
That threw me for a loop, Jared. You knew? What the fuck you mean you knew? And then I'm here and I'm sitting in her living room going, what you mean? It was pretty crazy.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Derek Gaines, thank you for coming on. This was fantastic.
Hey, man. Always a pleasure with the J Train, man. One of the funniest comics in New York City. Dude, I look up to you, bro.
That is too nice. You're being ridiculous. You're so funny. I want everyone to go follow Derek. Go right now. Listen, he couldn't make the rounds on the late night shows. So let's get involved with what Derek's doing. He's so funny, so great on stage at The Great Boy. And he's got the podcast, No Need for Apologies. Go watch the movie King of Staten Island. Also, come on, he's working. This is great. What's the name of the show? What's the TV show?
Last OG.
I fucked up with that. Go at The Great Boy. I'm Jared Free. We're here every Monday and Thursday. Keep sending your emails. Keep sending your questions. We'll be back next episode. Boom.